over the last couple of months. Have you noticed how often he's saying, put the nativity scene out there on buildings? There's been signage around the places. There's been Christian businesses putting the nativity scene back into their windows of their business. There's been people sending Christmas cards and making sure they not just have a happy holiday, but they're real Christ-centered Christmas cards. It's a special, special time of year. Lots of good things are happening. One of the best things you can do at Christmas is peel back all the traditions and all the culture and look again at the first Christmas story and think about what they went through and what they were thinking and what they were learning during that time. Now this morning we're going to do that. We're going to peel back tradition and look at the story, and we're going to do something most of the men in our church might feel very uncomfortable doing. We're going to focus on feelings this morning. So we're going to look at the Christmas story and what people felt and how we might be going through the same feelings and what God can do in our situation as we're feeling similar things. As I read some things, the ladies beside me are going to read the scripture. So we're going to be backwards and forwards. And when I get to the word unscrambles, Jesse's going to stand up here. First hand up, it'll be 12s and unders first, if you can work out the word unscramble. If we don't get someone 12 and under, it will be open to anybody. And then Jesse can give you sugar-free lollies or ordinary lollies to share with your family during the service or afterwards. I don't know what you've been feeling this Christmas. Probably not the same as Mary and Joseph. I mean, how many people have taken a pregnant wife for 3 to 5 days down a stony road walking, you know, all the way to a census? That's probably not been your experience. But some of the things they felt you will be feeling, and God can connect with you in the place that you're in and grow you in your faith. The first person we're going to look at this morning is Joseph.
Jesus Christ was born. A young woman named Mary was engaged to Joseph from King David's family. But before they were married, she learnt that she was going to have a baby by God's Holy Spirit. Joseph was a good man and did not want to embarrass Mary in front of everyone, so he decided to quietly call off the wedding. While Joseph was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord came to him in a dream. The angel said, "Joseph, the baby that Mary will have is from the Holy Spirit. Go ahead and marry her. Then, after the baby is born, name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the Lord's promise came true, just as the prophet had said. A virgin will have a baby boy, and he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. After Joseph woke up, he and Mary were soon married, just as the Lord's angel had told him to do. But they did not sleep together before her baby was born. Then Joseph named him Jesus.
Awesome. Okay, Jesse, can you come up here? Use your powerful eyes for me, please. Let's put the scramble word up on the screen. Graham? Now, is it all there? Yes, it is. So the first word, just the scramble in brackets, not the answer. Oh, we've lost it. There it is. Someone 12 and under, what is that word, Anya? Afraid is right. Okay, grab us some lollies, Jess, and I'll get you to watch for the first hand up. Which, do you want to come choose some, or do you trust your brother to choose them? That'd be good. Joseph was afraid. Man, who's ever had an angel come and speak to him? I mean, that's pretty scary anyway. Then for the angel to come and say, God's put a baby in your fiance's womb. I mean, really? Has that happened before? How do you get your head around that? In those times, Joseph could have said, let's publicly shame her, let's embarrass her, let's divorce her, let's even stone her. But he didn't, did he? He did the right thing. I want you to turn to the person beside you and to answer this question. What did the angel tell Joseph to do? From the reading we just had, tell the person beside you, what did the angel tell Joseph to do? Did the person beside you get it right? Go ahead and marry her. She's done nothing to hurt you. Marry her straight away. And call that little baby Jesus. Incredible. Now, would Joseph understand those instructions? No. Was there a clear plan leading the way ahead, what the future was going to look like? No, not at all. Turn to the person beside you and tell them, how long did it take Joseph to obey the word, the message that God gave through the angel? How long did it take? Doesn't that say so much about Joseph? An angel comes, and angels scare most people, and says, your wife is pregnant, God's put a baby in a womb. This is not something dodgy, it's a miracle, and I want you to marry this girl, not shame her, not run away, and I want you to call the baby Jesus, and he does it very quickly. He marries her very quickly. Amazing. So he's scared. And so often people are afraid in life. So often people are facing a medical situation, a relational situation. God's saying to them, and God says to many people in this church, I want you to step out and do something you've never done before. You say, but God, give me the plan. I want the 10-year strategic plan. I want the fine detail. And he says, I want you to step out by faith and do this which you've never done before. And I'm going to show you one day at a time where to go and what the next step is. It's not uncommon for people to be afraid when God speaks to them and God draws on them. But God wants us to be like Joseph, to respond very quickly. If you trust him, if you share your fear with him and trust in him, his love will pour into your heart and the miracles will begin to happen as you step out in faith. 1 John chapter 4 verse 18.
There's no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love.
Awesome. So God is a good God. Now you can't predict the future. You can't tell what's going to happen to you next week or next year or 10 years' time. You don't know that. But you know God's good. And you know that if you submit to a good God and you trust in a good God, he's going to be working things together for your good and for the good of your family. And so if you're in a situation where, like Joseph, you're feeling afraid, say, Lord, I don't understand what's going down. I don't see why things haven't happened differently. I don't know why things are taking so long, but I know you're good. So, Lord, fill me with your perfect love so the fear would go and the trust and the faith and the miracle would follow. Second person we want to look at in the Christmas story is Mary. Here's one word that describes how Mary felt as she was walking with Joseph, just about to have a baby, across stony and often steep roads. Jesse, would you come up the front? 12 and under first, see if you can unscramble this word. It's really hard. If you can get this in your 12 and under, it'd be a miracle, but have a go.
It's over 5 letters, come on.
There we are. Okay, open to anyone. What is this word? What is she feeling? Lauren, is it Lauren first? Who was first, Jess? It was Lauren first. Okay. Uncomfortable. Take that lady some sugar. Here we are. Awesome. That's almost an understatement, isn't it? That she walked for at least 3 days, possibly 5 days, with her husband on a stony road. She was as big as a house, you know. She was uncomfortable. Now, what did she feel? Turn to the person beside you when she finally got to Bethlehem. Tell the person beside you, what's she feeling? What's she feeling? Awesome. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, speak about what happened.
Bethlehem in Judea. Long ago, Bethlehem had been King David's hometown, and Joseph went there because he was from David's family. Mary was engaged to Joseph and traveled with him to Bethlehem. She was soon going to have a baby.
So she traveled on an uncomfortable road. You know, who knows what the temperatures are like, probably getting into winter at that time in the Middle East. Possibly on the donkey, we don't know. We actually don't know that there was a donkey involved or not. It's part of the Christmas tradition. I don't think it's in Scripture. You know, so... Hey? Oh, the man would have ridden the donkey. That's good. That's good. And she gets to Bethlehem, and you can imagine the relief of finally getting there, okay? Luke chapter 2, verses 6 to 7.
A And while they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She dressed him in baby clothes and laid him on a bed of hay because there was no room for them in the inn.
Now, I want you to imagine being where Mary was on that day, in that barn-type structure. What can you see? Just tell a person beside you, what are you looking at right now in this barn-type structure where the baby is born? What do you see? What can you smell? Tell a person beside you, what can you smell? My 3.5-year-old grandson would love to answer that question. What are you hearing in that barn structure as a baby is just born? What are you hearing in that facility? As you look around this manger scene, can anybody see a doctor or a nurse? Can anybody see Mary's mum?
No.
How many mothers here would be happy giving birth in the barn without your mum present or a doctor or a nurse for a first child? That's pretty scary, isn't it? Pretty uncomfortable. Pretty scary. In life, so many people are going to tell you that it's God's job to make you happy. I'm not so sure that's true. I think it's God's job to grow your faith and to grow your character, because when you go to heaven, you'll take those things on into eternity. I don't believe life is fair. I don't believe it's even comfortable. But somehow in the discomfort of life, if you can learn to trust God, if you can learn to say, God, you are good, even though I don't get what's going down, even though I don't understand why things are taking so long, your faith will grow. And you'll get closer to a God. And that, what God develops in your faith in that season will be like pure gold for eternity. Sometimes God allows us to go through tough times and uncomfortable times to do something in us that will last forever.
By faith we have been made acceptable to God, and now because of our Lord Jesus Christ, we live at peace with God. Christ has also introduced us to God's undeserved kindness, on which we take our stand. So we are happy as we look forward to sharing the glory of God. But that's not all. We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure, and endurance builds character, which gives us hope that will never disappoint us. All of this happens because God has given us the Holy Spirit, who fills our hearts with His love.
Every one of us goes through tough times. If you haven't already, you're probably very young, and it'll happen. But in those tough times, you hang on to the hand of God. In those tough times, you say, God, my brain might be tiny compared to yours, but I know you're loving and I know you're good. I know you've got my best interests in heart. And I don't understand what's going down or why I'm going through what I'm going through. But God, because you're good, I'm hanging on and I'm trusting. And God will be at work in you greatly during that time. Maybe you're not feeling afraid this Christmas. Maybe you're not feeling uncomfortable this Christmas. Maybe you're feeling something of the pressure that the innkeeper felt as he ran out of rooms and he had so many customers to take care of. Just come and stand up here again. 12 and under first. What are these two words? Unscramble for me. What's the innkeeper feeling? 12 and under. Any hands, Jess? Over 12s? Yep. Perfect. Take that, lady, some sugar. Good on you. Stressed out. He's stressed out. He's got so many customers and they're all needing things. They've got him running around, you know. He's stressed out. There are still people knocking on the door of the inn. It's chaos in the city. He's focused on business, on doing a whole lot of good things. And he probably feels bad about telling a teenager to go and have a baby in a barn. But he's too busy to notice. His Christmas is so busy to notice that a little baby is being born, and that baby would become the most significant person in human history, that baby would split history into BC and AD, that baby would be more talked about than any other baby that was ever born on the face of this planet. He's so busy doing good, he misses the baby Jesus. He misses the point of Christmas. Let's have a look at this video clip together. Just move to the side over here.
Oh. Hey, Ed, come check out my North Star Christmas tree topper. It levitates.
Is this a gummy bear?
Yeah, we lost baby Jesus. Hey, check out these LED lights. I have them synced up to a 76-hour all Christmas music playlist.
There's my little Christmas DJ.
So, are you waiting till Christmas is over so you can go buy a new nativity set when they're on sale?
Huh? No. We lost baby Jesus like 11 years ago.
Is baby Jesus always a gummy bear?
Oh, no. We trade it out every year. Yeah, like last year it was a tiny troll doll. And the year before that we used a dog treat. They were the perfect size, but Dalton kept taking them and eating them.
You mean your dog kept stealing them?
No, my son Dalton. He loves those dog treats. Especially the peanut butter ones. There was one year that we used a doll head. That was creepy. We made a modeling clay baby Jesus. So the dog took that one too. One year we got desperate and used an ice cube. That was a miss and a mess. Yeah, just seems like everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never lasts.
Say that again.
Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to last.
And
what?
Say it again, slowly.
Why?
Just do it, Dulcimo. Slowly, do it.
I don't understand what's happening.
Just do it.
This is getting weird.
Say it!
Fine! But when I'm done saying this, you're gonna march in here and you're gonna watch my star levitate.
I'm fine. Do it.
Fine. Everything we try to replace baby Jesus with never seems to... Oh, yep, there it is. Okay. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
The innkeeper's stressed out, and it's so easy at Christmas time to be stressed out doing good and loving on people and running around doing stuff which is fun and it's good, there's nothing wrong with it, but miss out on feeling his presence, miss out on hearing his voice. His load is light, his yoke is perfectly fitted. And the best thing we can do at Christmas is not to be stressed out, but to focus on the baby and to spend time with him. Finally, I wonder what those first visitors felt when they saw a tiny baby wrapped in strips of burial cloth and lying in an animal feeding trough. Last one. Jess, come on up. This is really hard. We'll go straight open to every age. Try and unscramble this one. Who said that? Jess, can you tell? Put your hand up so Jess can see. Right at the back there somewhere. Is it Jocelyn, was it? Take a few bags to choose from. Awestruck. They felt awestruck. Well, what did the shepherds do when they arrived and saw the little baby that night that Jesus was born?
They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph, and they saw the baby lying on a bed of hay. When the shepherds saw Jesus, they told his parents what the angel said about him. Everyone listened and was surprised, but Mary kept thinking about all this and wondering what it meant. As the shepherds returned to their sheep, they were praising God and saying wonderful things about him. Everything they had seen and heard was just as the angel had said.
A little while after Jesus' birth, we read,
when the men went into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they knelt down and worshipped him. They took out their gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh and gave them to him.
Awesome. Thank you, ladies. Thank you. I'm sure you all know that the presents that were given to Jesus were significant. What present do you give a king? You give gold. What present do you give a priest? Someone that helps you connect to God. It's frankincense. What present do you give someone who's going to die or has died? It's myrrh. And so the gifts they gave, and we suspect there were seven wise men that came, but they gave three unique gifts. And those three gifts were prophetic. They spoke about who God was. And when these wise men saw a baby in a bed of hay, in a barn, they worshipped. When the shepherds saw the baby, they worshipped. When the wise men, would have been several weeks later, sorry, saw Jesus in the house, they worshipped him. There might be one or two people here this morning. You've come with your relatives at Christmas. You don't normally come to Christmas. You're not normally a church-going person. Can I suggest to you that the best thing about Christmas is Jesus? And he's not some historical figure that just spit history. He's not some historical figure that people were willing to die for rather than deny because they experienced him risen from the grave. He's your Saviour that wants to know you. In the foyer of the church there on the shelves as you come in through the doors are two little booklets, How to Connect to God and How to Become Part of God's Family. How to connect to God's for teenagers and adults, how to join God's families for children. And the best thing you could do this Christmas, if you're here because someone invited you along, is get to know the Christ child. He's no longer a baby. He's gone back to heaven. He's risen in power. One day every knee will bow before this one. Every tongue confess that he's Lord. It's right to take time out at Christmas to be awestruck, to consider again who Christ is and what he's done for us. The wise men worshipped him, and wise people still worship him today. We're going to get Renee and the team to come forward again, friends, and we're going to close before the surprise fire drill with some Christmas carols. If you're visiting with us this morning and you want to talk about God, you've got questions, we'd love to catch up with you when we come back in from the fire drill from the street. Bless you.
Let's stand, church, as we sing.